You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Football season's here. That means it's time for wings, beer, and countless TVs full of gridiron action at B-Dubs. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. Joe Thomas, some very interesting comments that directly refuted NFL Network ESPN reports about what happened at the trade deadline with him. That's coming your way at the top of the hour. Now we're going to go back to the phones. Tom Onicell, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, guys. I really appreciate it.
Of course.
I will admit it. I cheered when we drafted Johnny. Even last week, I was excited watching Johnny play. But seeing the pictures over the weekend, you know, here we are coming up with a chance to go 2-1 in the division. I realize the record stinks, but it's your main rival. Here's a guy who's supposed to be doing whatever he can to earn the job. He should be trying to do whatever he can to earn the job. I mean, it's a seasonal job. I mean, he's a young up-and-comer. What would any of us regular Joes do if we were trying to start a career? I mean, and at the end of the day, the way I've kind of concluded this situation is, are you ever worried about facing Johnny Manziel in a future Super Bowl? And if you're not, then why are we wasting our time with this guy, even if he earns the job eventually? Aren't you more concerned that he's eventually going to let you down when you need him the most? The guy has just not built any confidence that he can be a leader of men. And as much as Joe Banner gets ridiculed for this and that, he cut his losses early with a first-round pick and was able to turn it into another first-round pick. That moment's passed. There's no doubt. You can't get anything for this guy, but you can still do addition by subtraction, even with good players, and he's not one. So that's kind of my take on the situation.
So I appreciate the call. My question, is Tom still with us, Dino?
No, Tom's gone.
No, you come? I was going to ask him, because are you going to see Josh McCown in a Super Bowl? Probably
no.
Not. And this is probably the last stop for Josh McCown, given his age and where he is in his career, not due to his performance.
And also just but banged up.
You just don't know with Johnny. And so seeing him, and you've seen some positive signs, I only think we'll find out about him from having him play more in the National Football League. Mike Pettine has deemed, though, that time, it is not right now.
Right. You know what? And going back to your comment, nothing's going to come easy to this football team right now. And that's been very apparent, whether Johnny or Josh McCown's the starter. You know, nothing's going to come easy for a lot of reasons. A lot of reason is, and again, there's a plethora of them, it's offensive playmakers. You know, we have some, but they're superseding their ceiling right now, i.e. Gary Barnage, i.e. Travis Benjamin. I think Duke Johnson's a young budding star in this offense. Isaiah Crowell is a guy that is knocking on the door for stardom, but not getting the opportunity. You look at defensively. You've got older players making a lot of money in a scheme that they question, that we question, that can't stop the run. So, ultimately, what are we competing for? Are we competing to be as good of a bad team as we can be? Or are we competing to prep the guys now that are going to be a part of our future, that are going to be the team that knocks on the playoff door again in a year or two? And that's what you really have to ask yourself as you make a decision on who plays and who doesn't. What are we playing for?
Correct.
Pride?
Correct. What are we playing for? Yes, that is the question. And right now, it's not that. And so we're trying to find out. You know, right now, Mike Pettine saying clearly we're playing to win on Sunday against Pittsburgh, period. That's what we're playing for. So he's not there yet. He's not at the point where we've seen some other teams kind of say that we're playing for pride at this point in the season. The Browns aren't saying that, and I respect that decision to go out there and try to get it done on Sunday against the Pittsburgh Steelers. 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. Paul in Strongsville, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
How you doing?
Good, man.
Good. Hey, listen, first-time caller. I want to just talk about something else here for a second. I grew up in the Pittsburgh area. Moved to Cleveland in 82, have followed both cities. I was there in Pittsburgh in the 70s. I have a question for both of you. These are both blue-collar towns, hard-working towns, great football fans. What is the one thing that you think that sets them apart in their organization that Pittsburgh would continue to have so much success, yet Cleveland, just right down the turnpike, does not experience that? I'd just like to hear from both of you on that.
I think that part of it has been, you know, in some ways luck. Some in other parts of it, it's just been, quite frankly, the Steelers have been an organization that has had one way of doing business for a very long time. They've executed on that plan and have done a good job of securing performances at a high level at the most important position in the NFL, quarterback, and that's why they've been able to be successful, because they were good even when they didn't have a great quarterback. I mean, they've been there with Neil O'Donnell, Tommy Maddox, right. They've had success, Cordell Stewart, you know, but they have always been, it was a team that you always knew what was right. They're going to blitz you, they're going to play that aggressive 3-4 defense, and then now in the modern era, it's actually transitioned more into an offensive football team with Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown, et cetera, throwing it around the yard. But they've had one identity and one process, and they have executed along that consistently and done so picking well as well.
And not only it, that last sentence you just said, you know, process, identity, have been doing it for a long time. In the Steelers press release that we receive, you know, for every team that we play, I kind of skim through and find some highlights that I see. And there was a highlight that says winning era of free agency. And free agency started, this is since 1993. And when you talk about process, philosophy, identity, there's five teams that they list here as the winningest teams in NFL history since the era of free agency, which is 1993. Number one, New England Patriots, 242 wins, 67.2 winning percentage. Green Bay Packers, 231 wins in that same time period, 64%. The Pittsburgh Steelers, number three, 225 wins, 62.5% of the time. The Denver Broncos, 219, 60.8% of the time. And the Indianapolis Colts, 59% of the time. So when you think about winning since 1993, that's what, 22 years? Those five franchises have done it the most. The Pittsburgh Steelers are one of them. And if you look at the number of head coaches that each of these franchises have had in that window, it's less than you can count on one hand.
Yes.
Right?
Continuity of success. Continuity and success. It helps you do that as much as you can. When you are successful, you can maintain continuity. But your reason that you're able to be successful and have continuity is because your process and you're doing things the right way and consistently.
And even in a down year.
Even in a down year.
How did the Patriots go 11-5 with Matt Cassel?
Well,
you know what I mean?
Bill.
But I just meant Bill, the process and identity of exactly how the business was going to move forward without Tom Brady. There was no panic.
None.
There was a guy at quarterback. And essentially, because he had that 1 year, did he not play, what, now seven more since then? Probably all based around his success in New England for that one season?
Do you know how much money Matt Cassel's made because of
that? $60 million?
Yeah, I think it's 50.
Okay.
Not bad.
No, not bad.
Not bad.
Living good.
Living good. All right, let's go to a fine, fine place. Tucson, Arizona, home of the Wildcats. Dave is with us. Dave, welcome to the show.
Yeah, it is a fine place, and having grown up in Cleveland and lived there until 1997, it's really hard to take 70 degree temperatures in February.
I'm sure. I used to go to a place. My uncle's a professor at the U of A, and when I was a kid, I don't know how long you've been there. I used to go to a place called the OK Corral all the time, and it was my favorite. That was like the treat when I went to Tucson.
Well, I love the Four Seasons in Cleveland, but months and months of gray skies are not exactly my idea of a good time. But
I hear you.
You guys just made my case for me when you were talking about continuity. I moved out here in '97 and worked until 2014. But I've been following the Browns since. I used to pretend I was Jimmy Brown running around in the backyard when I was a little kid.
Nice.
So I've got a lot of time with the Browns, and the Browns teams that were great, the Paul Brown teams, the Sam Bertigliano teams, the Marty Schottenheimer teams, all had continuity, and the franchises that you're talking about, which are among the ones that Browns fans notoriously like to hate, which you got to give it to them, is they've had the same front office, the same head coach, and quarterbacks, you know, that have 8, 9, 10 years at the helm. And I read Cleveland.com out here, and I don't know what's more frustrating, the columnists that are suggesting firing Pettine and Farmer, or the fans who knee-jerk and suggest firing Pettine and Farmer. before Farmer was hired, he was touted as one of the next bright shining stars of the NFL. And the guy has had two drafts, and I wrote down the 2011, 2012, 2013, and then Farmer's drafts of 14 and 15. And I wrote down who's left from 2011 to 2013 and who's on the roster now. Sure. And the teams that do well, as you guys are saying, are the ones that have continuity at GM, at head coach, and a quarterback. And we've had eight head coaches, six general managers, and 22 quarterbacks.
It's not a coincidence when you don't have a quarterback that you're going to have more turnover. That's not a coincidence at all. And I think what we've been trying to say is it certainly is very possible, that Ray and Mike could be the right guys. It just needs to be something where they have continuity of their process and they're doing things in the way and the vision and in the mold of whatever this organization wants itself to be.
Right.
And if that happens, I think you'll ultimately get there, but it does make it a heck of a lot easier when you've got that quarterback. And hopefully that's why I want to see Johnny, because I want to know if Johnny is that quarterback. And if he's not, I'm fine. Then you know that he's not, and you can go to the draft, because Josh McCown was never supposed to be the franchise guy. So we'll see what happens. So here we go. We'll find out. And another point that people keep making is Johnny's final numbers weren't that good. But remember, the week before, Cincinnati played Pittsburgh and did a much better job against that Pittsburgh offense than they did even against the Browns offense,
right,
with the final numbers. And that's a team that had Antonio Brown. It's a team that had Le'Veon Bell for most of the game, Martavis Bryant, Ben Roethlisberger. So that's a good defensive performance. I'd like to see Johnny with another opportunity against the Steelers team that we just saw, because it wouldn't be great to have that apples-to-apples comparison.
Of course, you just saw
Derek Carr, second-year quarterback, go into Pittsburgh and have a nice day, throwing for over 300 yards and four touchdowns. Now, I would argue he's got significantly better weapons with Crabtree and Cooper just at wide receiver, and Latavius Murray, Clive Walford, etc. But it would be a nice comparison to see what that looked like and what this looks like 1 week later, same stadium, same opponent. But if Josh McCown's able to go, we won't get that chance. If he's not able to go, which is possible, then you will have, obviously, Johnny Manziel getting that start. All right, when we come back, Joe Thomas spoke today with the media and was very strong with his words, and we certainly will bring those to you right after this.